never borrowed a penny. God has always provided every cent or every dollar that we needed. Father, we just thank you, Father God. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, that you're so faithful. You've been so good to each and every one of us, Father God. May we never cease to be grateful as your word is declared to us in everything. Give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And we're so grateful, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Grateful for every day. It's Levon's box, but it's God's money. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Kings chapter 3. I have to get the old snot out of me here. I've been crying a lot. Amen. You know, how many know it's okay for men to cry? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just reminded of Jesus when he was going to the tomb of Lazarus. It says Jesus wept. Amen. So it's okay for us to shed a tear. Amen. Most of the tears that I have are tears of joy. And a lot of times in the tears of joy, I just don't know how to express them. Amen. But what I was thinking about and the thought for this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit and God's going to take us on a little journey this morning. Amen. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, he's going to carry us through on this journey. And he's going to minister to every heart and every life of everyone gathered here. How many know that God, from the foundation of this universe, knew you would be sitting here today? Amen. There's nothing that catches him by surprise. And when I was looking at this and I was thinking about my thought is dig a little deeper. And my thought is to dig a little deeper in his word. When you dig a little deeper in God's word, the blessings will begin to flow. As the blessings begin to flow, your faith will begin to grow. As your faith begins to grow, signs and wonders will begin to show. As signs and wonders begin to show, others will begin to know. Amen? And what God is saying to us today is God's called each and every one of us to be participators. God didn't call any of us to be a spectator, but a participator. And God wants us to know that how important each and every one of us are to him. And when I was looking at this text in 2 Kings, Jehoshaphat, when I was reading this text in 2 Kings 3, Jehoshaphat should have sought the Lord first, but he didn't. A couple of kings came to him and asked him to go to battle with him, and he's going to go to battle with these two kings. And they're going on a seven-day journey, and all of a sudden they're out of water. They're facing the Moabites, and there's no water. So they're dehydrated. The cattle and the men are thirsty, and there's nothing to drink. And that takes us to our text this morning, and the Lord's going to take us on a journey today, okay? And 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 15. He said, but now bring me a minstrel. Let me say something to you. The prophet Elijah couldn't face in the spirit. He'd be acting in the natural. So he called a minstrel to come to invoke him and get him into the presence of the Lord. What we were just doing when we were praising and worshiping is getting into the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So he's in this place, he's facing this dilemma, and he calls for a minstrel to play. Thank you, Amy, for traveling here this morning and playing for us today. Amen. You're a blessing. Thank everyone else for playing. Thank you, and thank Tony, and thank LaVon, but thank you. But he says here in verse number 15, and it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Yes, you have something?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? You remember that message I preached 10 years ago, right? I preached a message on this text about 10, maybe it was maybe longer than that. And I brought a little shovel for everyone. And everyone in the congregation got a little shovel. And I would have them say, can you dig it at times throughout the... But I grew up a little bit then, since then. I wish I had one of my shovels. I'd have you hold it and say, can you dig it? Amen. But today, the title of this morning's message is Dig a Little Deeper. And the three things I want to share with you out of this text is the preparation, the progression, and the profession. Amen? Can we lift the word together and make a declaration here today? Can you repeat after me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent this word here today to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart and every life. So now, Father, I pray, Lord, speak through me. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done, you will receive all the glory, you will receive all the honor, and you will receive all the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. So first, we're going to look at the preparation. And he says, when we dig a little deeper in God's word, we will have faith to be prepared. Amen? How many know that God wants to prepare us to receive everything he has for us? Amen? And when I was looking at this, we're just going to go to the next chapter, in 2 Kings chapter 4. We find it in the 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a widow woman whose husband was a prophet. And the prophet died and they had two sons and she had a debt. And they were going to sell, they were going to take the two sons into bondage to pay the debt. And when she came to the prophet asked her, what's in your house? She said, nothing but a pot of oil. I want you to understand today, the oil is a representation today of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Spirit, and the pot is here. The pot is here. And then this prophet gave her instructions. He said, go gather vessels, not a few. Now, let me go ahead and read this text and I'll expound on it a little bit. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door, thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all of those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. In other words, God wants us to understand, God has oil to pour out, but he's looking for vessels. Amen. And we live in, if you look at your bulletin today, of course it wouldn't be in there. If you look at your bulletin today, it's a picture of the Shenandoah Valley. Amen. And what the Lord is saying to us is God wants to pour out oil in a lost and dying world, but we're to gather the vessels. Amen? Amen. And we're to believe God at his word. You know, when he gathers the vessels, I was just going on a thing there because of the oil of the Holy Spirit, and then he said, turn the page to me. And I turned the page again, and then it went to 2 Kings chapter 5. And 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a captain of the host. His name is Naaman. And Naaman was a leper. And the prophet Naaman comes unto the man of God. There's a story that goes before, but he comes before the man of God. Tries to come to the prophet. And Elijah sends out his servant and tells the captain of the host to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman was wroth. He was angry. He said, well, the Jordan's the dirtiest river of them all. Why would you have me go to dip in the... Why would he do that? I thought he would come and do something great. He would come and speak a word over me, or he would lay his hands on me, and the leprosy would go. And it was kind of interesting. His servant said this. Well, probably if he said something great, you would have responded. But he said something outside of the box. He told you to go dip 7 times in the river. Why don't you act on the word of God? I'm just paraphrasing. And the Bible says that Naaman dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, and his flesh became that as of a child. His leprosy was healed. And I want you to understand, 7 represents perfection. 7 represents Jesus. He said, when we take the water of the word joined with the oil of the Spirit, there's cleansing that will come. There's healing that will come. There's restoration that will come. There's things that will come. I think that's why the Lord tells us in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, he tells us to sow to ourselves in righteousness, to reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. God wants to break up the hardness of the heart. Some people have been hurt, and they're carrying a hardness of heart, and God wants to break that hardness. He wants to soften that heart. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. The Lord said in our text today that you wouldn't see wind or rain, but those ditches will be filled. Amen. And God is saying to you and I, when we act on his word, when we act on instruction, even when it doesn't make sense. Hello? In other words, God's trying to get you out of ourselves and to trust in him. That's why he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All of your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. In other words, I'll direct your path. I'll give you the steps to take. The steps of a righteous man have been ordered by who? They've been ordered by the Lord. And it doesn't always mean that it's going to feel good or seem right. Amen? I don't know about you, but most of the time when the Lord tells me to do something, it really don't make a whole lot of sense. But he says to me, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than yours. Amen? Amen? So when the Lord's giving you some instruction, even though it doesn't go with your thinking, amen, you got to allow him to show himself big, just like he did with the army, you know, and they did overtake the Moabites. Amen? And secondly, he said, he spoke to me about the progression. And the progression is when we dig a little deeper in his word, we will have faith to progress. Amen? In other words, we're going to take a step closer, a step further. Amen? So with that in mind, if you look at me in Joshua chapter 6, Joshua 6, a lot of the old stories in the Bible, he's from the Alpha to the Omega, Genesis to Revelations, and everything in between. Here's go Joshua and the army of Israel. These are mighty men of valor, right? And they're coming across the Jordan, and they're coming to this walled city of Jericho. Amen? And here, and they've got a strategy. I know that they have a war plan, okay? Amen? And then they come there, and the Lord says, what I want you to do is I want these men, I want you and your soldiers, and all the march around the wall one day, once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times, meaning completion. And on the seventh time, I want you to sound the horns and sound the trumpets and give a shout. Amen? And I'm going to give you this city. Now, I can see Joshua and Caleb, they're men of battle and men of war. And they're sitting there and saying, I know in their minds are saying, really? We're going to just march around the wall? Really? And we're not going to use any weapons. Now, they took their weapons when they went in and took the Jericho. But who preceded them? The priest. The priest, the men of God, the worshipers. Amen? They let them right into it, okay? And God is saying, when we allow the priest and the worshipers to lead us into the presence of God, things will start to fall. Things will fall off. And you know, and what the adversary does is does this. Well, I'm not singing, I don't like that song, or I'm not used to that song, or then we made it about a song. It's not about the song. It's about bringing glory and honor and praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got to get outside of our flesh and allow God to be God. Amen? I don't know, but he's always got a plan, and most of the time his plans don't make a bit of sense to me. Hello? Is anybody else hearing what he's saying? What has the Lord called you to do, and how did he tell you to do it? In Judges chapter 7, I'm just turning the pages. We're just walking through the Bible. Next Thursday when we finish, we'll be good. Just teasing. Here's Gideon. The account of Gideon, Judges chapter 7. Gideon lays a fleece out before the Lord. And as he laid his fleece out of the Lord, it was all wet. And then he had to do it again to ask for it to be dry. He had to have a double fleece. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it the first time, but he believed it the second time, okay? That second time, there was dew all around, and the fleece was dry, okay? But the Lord says he's got this vast army to go against the Midianites. And the Lord says, well, there's too many. I won't be glorified with this amount of army. So I'm going to give you some instructions. Tell anybody that wants to go home that they can go home. And he says, okay, Lord. If anybody would just like to go home to your family, it's okay. No problem. You can go home. 22,000 people left. I mean, just like that. And there was still a great host that was there. And then the Lord said this. He said, and then they came to water, and they all, most of them went down their faces, drinking water like cattle, and there was 300 of them that just got on one knee and dipped the water and kept their eyes open to what they were doing. And he said, let all the others go home, but keep those 300. God isn't always about large armies, always looking for his faithfulness. Amen. God can take the small things and he can make them great. Okay, so here's the 300 men. Now what are we going to do? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take horns and lamps and jars for this battle. Now, wait a minute. You've got these 300 valiant men, these warriors that want to beat on someone. Right? And you tell them to get a trumpet and a jar with a lamp in it. And when I give the signal, you're going to sound the horn, break the jar, and the lights are going to be, and you're going to shout and blow the horn. And you know, the Bible says that those armies turned on one another and were defeated. What Father wants you and I to know, it's not always about a big number of people. If one could put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000, what can we do with this body that's in his room right now if we just trust and we believe the Lord? Amen? I don't know about you, but I serve a great big God. Amen? And you know what he always does with me? He takes me outside of the box. He takes me out of the tradition. He takes me out of the spirit of religion. But he also takes me out of the spirit of apathy. God always calls me to do something. God always calls me to take a step, and he'll meet me when I take that step. And so many times I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I don't understand what's happening. And God says, I give you instructions. Take a step of faith. Take a step towards what I called you to do, and watch and see. I don't know about you, but it watch and see that the Lord ain't good. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I have to go here too. Yay, he told me I had to, so let's go here. There was a famine in the land. There's a widow and her son, and she's getting ready to make her last meal. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about the last meal and what this last meal produced. And then I was thinking about the last meal, the Last Supper, and what it produced. Amen. God is producing something in hearts and lives. It continues to live on. But it was kind of interesting in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. This is the instructions from the prophet. The prophet said to her, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. In other words, it's your last meal. And you're saying, I'm going to feed the prophet first. You want me to do. And the prophet was a representative of the Lord. Amen? And one of the things the Lord was speaking to me about, hello, she's fine, hello. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like that, it's pretty. Yeah. Hey, how you? In Malachi chapter 3, I'm just going to go here for a second because the Lord told me to do it. Verse number 10. First fruits, first part. The Lord said, verse number 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me thou herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And what the Lord was speaking to me about is God's all about the first part. Amen? In other words, when I bring the Lord, what he's asking for me to give him is my very best. And when I give him my very best, I become blessed. I learned back in 1997 and started in 1997. I have tithed faithfully every week since 1997, and I always tithe the gross, not the net. I tithe the first fruit. Amen? And the reason I'm saying that is because God's word is, God is not a man that he should lie. And when God says it, he says that we're blessed. So the blessing is important. I want to walk in the blessings of God. And if I want the blessings of God, I got to go according to his word. Amen. As I do it according to his word, I have the divine favor of God in my life. God has blessed me supernaturally, where there didn't seem to be any way at all, according to man, God would open up the windows of heaven and he would pour me out a blessing. Amen. I remember one time, I want to share this because it's important. I remember one time we were in this place, we didn't have enough money. Everybody ever been there before? Amen. I was at this place and we didn't have enough money. And it was like, look, we're trusting the Lord. We continue to tithe. We continue to do it. But we didn't have enough money. And one day, it was the same day, my wife, they just started the Bank of America, and my wife was the 100,000th person to make a deposit. She deposited our check, and Bank of America doubled our deposit on that day, all right? So that was the first thing. Then we get home that same day, and all of a sudden we had all these checks that came in the mail. We had checks for 7 or 8 years prior from the federal income tax and from the state. All of a sudden, I didn't even know where it came from, but all of a sudden this money came in, and the Lord took care of everything. Every last thing was taken care of. And you have to understand, I gave my heart to the Lord in 97, and I trusted him with everything. I stepped away from everything in the business world, and I went to follow Jesus, and the Lord was showing me that he is faithful, that he was going to take care of all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And when this widow woman, by faith, feeds him first, she never went hungry. She didn't die. God supplied for each and every one of her needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Aren't the children beautiful? Yeah, she wants to play. Hallelujah. So here's what we're saying today. I hope I didn't get off course here. We're digging a little deeper in the world to have faith to prepare us for the blessing. We're digging a little deeper in the word so we can progress, have faith to progress, to move forward when God calls us to do something outside of the box. Amen. So many times we try to put them in a box, like Jack in the Box. Jesus goes to jump up, pop goes the weasel, or whatever it is. You know, that's sort of the way we act sometimes, you know. But God wants you to understand that he operates and moves outside of the natural. How many know that he's a supernatural God? So if he's a supernatural God, he should take us outside of our natural, right? Because his super added to our natural becomes supernatural. Hallelujah. I think that'll preach by itself. But then he says the profession. And I turn the page. Turn the page, go to Daniel chapter 3. You know, and I'm using these accounts because most of us are familiar with them. And the Lord just wants to speak in a different area to stories we're familiar with. This is the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, they were asked to bow to the false gods or to idols, okay? And we live in a world where the church in the day that we're living is joining in with the things of the world, and they're bowing to false gods and false idols, just like in this time. And the Word of God says in in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, this is what they declare. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. In other words, when you're going through a fiery trial, God wants you to understand that he's given you the Holy Spirit, the oil. He's given you the water of his word, amen, that will carry you and will drench the fiery furnace, okay, to put the fire out. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon us, the word of God says, amen. How many know that the water of the word will put out some fires? Amen. How many know that the oil of the Holy Ghost will loosen and loosen some things up and make them flow a little easier? Amen. But he says in verse 25, he says that he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. We find Jesus in the midst of the fire. Amen. In other words, God wants you and I to know that as we're professing him, what did they do? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego professed God as their Lord. And as we profess God, he is faithful. That doesn't mean everybody you're around is going to like it. Amen. So he says, as we turn the page back to Ephesians chapter 3, I'm louder. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that I have a big mouth. Hallelujah. Very seldom did you hear anybody say, well, Pastor, I didn't hear you. Now, unless they were choosing not to listen. Amen. But this is what the Lord wants to get into our hearts today in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. The Word of God says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That wasn't a feed me call, that was the carry me call, I think. You know, I love children because I was once a child and I never grew up. Hello? I'm still a child at heart. Hello? Is that okay? Is that all right? Isn't that good? Amen. I love what Jude says in verse number 24. The Word of God says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm thankful, Father God, today. I'm thankful for my keeper, my helper. How many are grateful for the Holy Ghost? Come on now. Come on. I'm so grateful for the Holy Ghost, man. We couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we say greater is he that is in us and he that's in this world, man, he is really great in us. Amen. And it's only when we make him small that the obstacle becomes greater than him. Amen. When we have revelation and understanding of who's in us, these weapons the enemy brings will not prosper. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up, thou shalt condemn. That's our heritage as children of God. Now, we're not condemning people. We're condemning the lying words that are spoken. Amen. If it ain't from the Lord, I ain't going to receive it. Amen. I'm going to bind every word that was spoken by the power and authority of Jesus' name. But what I was thinking about here is he said, when we dig a little deeper in the word, in closing today, when we dig a little deeper in the word, it will give us faith. The preparation will come. It will give us faith to be prepared. When we dig a little deeper in his word, the progression comes. We'll have faith to progress, to move forward. Amen? Amen? And when we dig a little deeper in this word, we'll have faith or the profession. We'll profess Jesus as the answer. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. The Word of God says it is just a little thing for me to give the enemy into your hand in our text. That's the possession. God says when we dig a little deeper in his word, he'll give us faith to possess, to take back what the enemy has stolen. We sing the song, but God says faith needs to arise to take dominion over, to take back everything the adversary has stolen. And Proverbs 28, the Word of God says this. He says, whoso causeth the righteous, verse 10, to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I as church? He is saying when we dig a little deeper in the world and the word of God that we'll have the preparation. Faith to be prepared. God's preparing you to receive something today. Amen? God's opening up your vessel by the Spirit of God to receive. Because you need what the Lord wants to impart in you to progress. For what God's called you to do, the weapons the enemy's formed, the walls that he's placed in front of you are large because he's heard of what God's called you to do. But God says, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold. That God says that as you profess his name and the name of Jesus, every name named must bow to the name of Jesus. As you profess his name, you'll begin to possess what God's called you to take. Amen. God says that he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And his plans are for good. Plans to give us hope and an expected end. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that rejoices my heart. That rejoices my soul. I serve a God that thinks good things towards me. No matter what the adversary is doing, God has better plans for you. And God wants us to take back some stuff today. He wants to take back our health. He wants to take back our well-being. He wants us to take back our finances. He wants us to take back our families. He wants us to take back this city. He wants us to take back this nation. He wants us to take back this world. He said, oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's time for the church to arise and the enemy to be scattered in Jesus' name. Bow your heads and let us pray. Can we all just stand? Y'all been sitting a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Can we open up our vessels? Can we raise our hands? Open up our vessels. Father God, I thank you for every man and woman in the room today. I thank you for the call of God that's on every life that's in this room today. You said if our hearts would be prepared and we'd be ready to progress and that we would profess, that we would possess. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind every weapon that's been formed against sickness and bodies in this room right now in the name of Jesus. You said you were wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. Father, I pray healing right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, for minds right now. Your word says to cast down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bring under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, I bring my mind, our minds, into obedience to you. He's realigning minds. He's realigning hearts. Father, I thank you, Father God, for Holy Ghost boldness. I pray for the Spirit of God to swell up in each and every one in this room right now. Spirit of God, swell up. Overflow, Father God. Overflow in every heart and every life. We're going to take back some things, Lord. We're taking back our children. We're taking back our family, our loved ones. We're taking them back, Father God. They belong to you, and we call them forth in Jesus' name. We call each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. And your word says, Father God, your word says that they that wait upon you, that you'll renew their strength. Some are feeble in the room. Some have weakened, Lord Jesus. And your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, we rather glorify you in our weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Minister to every heart and every life. May they recognize that the call of God on their lives is irrevocable. It does not change. Would you just tell them in your own words, say, Father, I need a fresh drink. I'm thirsty, Lord, I need a fresh drink. Pour out your spirit afresh and anew on me, Lord. Stir up the gifts that are within me, Father God. Some of them have been laying dormant, Father God, and you're here to activate them today. We praise you and we give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Father God. The Father says he has prepared you for a time such as now. He's given you his helper and he's given you a friend. He's given you Holy Ghost power to progress. He said, be careful, children, of what you profess. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Recognize the authority that I place within you. And when you see it, faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. Begin to take possession. Call it forth and believe. All things are possible to him or her that believes. So can we give God praise and glory in the house today? Hallelujah! 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 Look to the one next to you and say, I'm never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Hallelujah. God's going to take me to heights I never thought I could reach. But I got to trust him. I can't trust me. Me always messes it up. Amen. So, Father, I pray blessings.